Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. I'm Tim Blevins, lead pastor, and I'm honored you have come to join us. To experience our full service or for more information, check out the links in the description. I hope this message ministers to you and helps you find life in Jesus.
Those are my people on that video. We had a big old weekend together. It was so good. How many of you Flourish girls are here today? Was so awesome. Thank you so much for coming and joining us and, you know, putting aside your normal stuff to go, I want something more. I want something more. It was amazing. If I were to take the time to thank all the people that made that weekend possible, we wouldn't have a message today. I'd just be standing up here thanking everybody. But I want to thank our production team. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I want to thank our worship team. Did y'all see that deep bench of women leading up here? And all the guys, like, it was just awesome. It was so awesome to have all of them. We had an army of volunteers, It was just, and you know what? I looked around. I was like, these are my people. Oh, it's just so beautiful to me. I felt like that scripture that says, it was like, we were like those who dreamed. And the women just kept coming in. Hundreds of women just kept coming in. And I could never not thank my lead team. The sisterhood lead team is so beautiful, and they carry such a beautiful anointing, and they poured out of themselves, not just this weekend, but leading up to it. I want to thank my daughter, Bailey, who beautifully put before our eyes creatively. Women love beauty. Beauty moves our heart and our spirits, and she had a way of pulling all those pieces together and creating a beautiful weekend. But Pastor Gina, thank you, girl. Nobody but the Lord knows. Nobody but the Lord knows. And you know, this morning I was thinking about this. Y'all just bear with me a minute. I didn't even think about this. 8 years ago, I was driving I remember on Oleander where I was. It was almost exactly in front of this building, talking to Gina on the phone. And I said, I have an idea. I want to do a women's conference in the spring. She was like, okay, we can make it happen. So what do you want to call it? And it just came out of my voice. I just said, how about Flourish? Because in the spring, things are right. They're waking up and coming back to life again and flourishing. And it was literally nearly in front of this building that we are now in. I had no idea. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, so thank you. She takes that vision and crafts and architects and builds this event that is just so awesome. It's just so awesome. It's so good. Okay, this morning, I got a word for you. And we're going to get right into it. We're going to go right into the scripture. Are you ready? We're going to get right into it. First, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive into what I felt like the Lord when I said, Lord, I got a lot of words this weekend. I got to say a lot of words. I got a lot of messages, and I still have sisterhood yet to come up on Tuesday night. So I got some work. There's a lot of messages and outlines going on in my brain. And the Lord gave me this passage. I mean, he just dropped it right like that. How good is he? He's like, I know what my people need. I know what my people need. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. First of all, we say we belong to you. We belong to you. And, Lord, nothing of any of this is to us. It is all to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the kindest one we know. We thank you, Lord, that anything you've done in the past, you can do here today. So we grab hold of the testimonies of yesterday and we pull them into today. And Lord, we say, come and do again what only you can do in all of our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask that the anointing that breaks the yoke of the enemy would be here today. That you would change people's lives, that they came in one way and they're gonna go home a different way today in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, that anything that's born out of my flesh, it would just fall off to the wayside and die. But whatever is born of your spirit, that it would come forth and that it would bear fruit and that it would be fruit that remains. We thank you, Jesus, that now and forever, you are the kindest one we know. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. Okay, your text is John 5. If you've got your Bibles, turn there. If not, it's on the screen. John 5, 5 through 9, and I'm gonna read it to you. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. That's a minute. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been there a long time in that condition. And he said, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred. But while I am coming, another steps down before me and gets in first." Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your mat and walk." And immediately the man became well, and he took up his mat and he began to walk. And as I began to pray into this that God was saying today, I felt him say, "Ask my people if they want to be healed." I wanted to rebut and say, "Lord, do you see what we do every single week? Michelle's prayer team, they're up here praying for the sick every single week, praying for people who need healing of some sort. Every single week, we're doing this. This is what we're doing." That was truly what I wanted to do. It's like, have you ever done that? When you hear God, you're like, "I have a rebuttal." Like, I actually got a rebuttal to this. That it's not a great place to be, but it's okay. But people could be coming up for physical healing. It could be emotional healing. They could have need healing in like family relationships or other relationships. Healing is number one on everybody's prayer list. Do you know if somebody needs healing in an area and you ask them what their prayer request is, it's always going to be the first thing they tell you about. Have you ever been sick? I mean, I'm going to get to mine in a minute, but I'm going to tell you it's the number one thing that we all want to get well. So why would Jesus, or how could Jesus even ask this man if he wanted to get well? I mean, the Bible tells us that Jesus, I just read it, that Jesus knew he'd already been there a long time. He's already been here a long, 38 years, almost four decades on his mat. So why the question? Wouldn't anyone who's sick want to be healed? I mean, we would think so, but apparently not. Or the question would have been unnecessary. And I am pretty sure that Jesus never asked an unnecessary question, ever. Did you know that also Jesus never asked a question that he didn't already know the answer to? Yeah. So are you like Certain Man? That's his name, Certain Man. And am I? And I would say yes, probably in some ways we are, possibly. So I want you to go back to this scenario with me. Jesus is there in person, standing in person in front of them. Let me say that. Y'all hear me? Jesus is standing there like Tim is sitting there. Jesus is standing there with them. All the while, you and anybody else around you who needs healing staring at the water. Jesus is here staring at the water, eyes fixed on the water. Whew, gotta get in the water. Here's the water. When's the water gonna stir? I gotta get in the water. They were so immersed in their way to healing that they didn't even realize that the way was standing there with them. Right? They thought it was the water. They didn't even understand that he was standing there. Now, some of us may be similar to this. And what do I mean by that? I mean, we may be waiting for a dream and a vision, a sign and a wonder, a different or at least a better season of life to come along, a revival or something we feel is a revival, some feelings that we need to feel, a celebrity or a well-known person to take some kind of notice of our situation. We may be waiting until we can go to such and such conference because they have promoted signs and wonders, right? All of us have been there, all of us. We all have a way that seems good and right to us, right? Like if I was Jesus, this right here is how I'd do this. This is how I'd do this. Do you ever think like that? Because I do. Lately, Tim and I, we have been watching The Chosen for the first time. When I see Peter, I'm like, that is me. I'm like, burn it down. Like, I watch him and I'm like, ooh. I mean, and Tim will just say, he is something. I'm like, because I know. I'm looking at myself. Like this situation right now in Gaza, if it was me, I'm like, turn it into a parking lot, kill all the enemies of Israel, whoosh, off with their heads. That is how Harriet thinks that we're going to make things better. Are you not so glad God doesn't do stuff the way we want? I mean, I'm like, fire from heaven, come down. Here it is, right here. These are your enemies, God. Take care of it. Have you ever felt that way? Aren't we glad God doesn't do stuff the way we want him to? I mean, whoo. But sometimes he does ask us questions, and the questions are always for our benefit, not his, right? They're always for our benefit. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? There's another place in the New Testament when Jesus says to someone, what do you want me to do for you? Literally, do you understand the words coming out of my mouth? I mean, literally, that's what he's saying. Do you want me to handle this situation? He's asking them straight up. Now, in most cases, it's laughable. We all just laughed because it is. He's asking this crippled man on a mat for almost 4 decades, do you want to walk? Obvious question, answer, right? Obvious. Only Jesus would ask that, because what he was truly wanting to do, he was wanting the man to see how much his identity was tied up in being a victim on that mat. That's what he was wanting to do. He was getting somewhere with this man. Let's go back to verses 6 and 7. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew it had already been there a long time in that condition, he said, do you wish to get well? And verse 7 says, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. There is his victim speech. Every victim has a speech that they have rehearsed over and over and over and over and over and over and over. All of us, and all of us have done it at one time or another. Everybody. Life, this is it. I cannot possibly get well. That's what he's saying. The water is where the healing is, and everybody else is in my way. They always get there first. How many of you think if Jesus is healing somebody that he runs out of power and only so many people get a bit? Think about how crazy that is. That's what he was saying. But doesn't this sound familiar? I was thinking about another story when I was writing this, first draft of this. Remember when God was talking to Adam and he questioned Adam? And Adam said, Lord, it is this woman you gave me. You remember that? He's like, I'm the victim. It's because of her. I'm putting the blame on her. It's this woman that you gave me. You know why? Because owning our own stuff is hard. It is awful. It is awful. And I've done it before. We all have. To have to look at yourself and your life and go, this right here is the way it is because of me. This is where it is because of the choices I've made and because I have been refusing to own my own stuff. Literally, that is what we do sometimes. It's a hard pill to swallow, owning our own stuff. At Sisterhood, we talk about that all the time. So we're going to break this down, and we're going to look at 3 areas that may keep you and I from receiving the healing that Jesus wants to bring us so we can get up off of whatever mat it is that you might have been on. The first one is yesterday's defeats and discouragements. Now, how many of you in this room, by a show of hands, has experienced defeat in something? How many of you in this room have ever in your whole life felt discouraged? Yet all of us, everybody, and those of you who think you haven't, come up front afterwards and I will lay hands on you and pray for the spirit of lying to be cast away from you. The Bible tells us that hope deferred makes our hearts sick. When hope is deferred over and think about this man, 38 years trying to get into this water, over and over defeated, over and over discouraged, over and over and over and over. How many of you know that would make you feel discouraged? That would make you feel defeated. You couldn't even get in there. Discouragement has kept many a good man from becoming great, or woman. Discouragement. Why? Because we can never get past our defeats and discouragements, and we can't get to hope if we just experience a wave of defeat and discouragement, one after the other, after the other, after. It's hard to get your head up and to see the hope in that. So God, though, has something different for us today, because the Bible tells us that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. That's right. That means there's more than enough. There's all we need and then some. Isn't that good? That is good news right there. He is a daily. Tim read this passage last week. It's in Psalms. That God has daily loaded you and I with benefits. Everybody wants a benefit package. Everybody wants good stuff, right? God has daily loaded you and I with the good stuff. Benefits, life abundantly. He has daily given us that. On the morning I was writing this, in my daily Bible reading, I was reading in the Psalms, and I read where David was so downcast, discouraged, and defeated, and he kept making himself praise the Lord. He made himself praise the Lord. He was like, I've got to change my posture and my perspective on my stuff, and I've got to make it about the truth of who God is. Not what all this looks like in the world, but who he is. And do you know what David did? He led himself. Some of us today need to learn how to lead ourselves and stop looking to other people to lead us all the time. Begin to lead yourself. Take yourself by the hand and say, self, we got this because God's got us. That's the truth of it. God has got you and I. But we have to look at ourselves sometimes and go, self, you will. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. That's your mind, will, and emotions. That's not your spirit. That's your mind, will, and emotions. He is telling himself, you will. Soul, I command you to praise the Lord. I don't care what this looks like. Now, let me tell you what happens. Once praise begins, the vibration, the atmosphere. There's vibrations around us everywhere right now. Everywhere. All across the earth. You know, they've done a scientific study one time that a little tiny cricket, if you put its sound on the same sound wave, vibration, as a giant whale, they're the same. It's the same sound wave. Why? Because all creation is crying out and praising the one who made them. That is powerful. When you praise and you begin to shift, it may take your circumstances a minute to catch up, but you will start to see things start, darkness flees, things change in the atmosphere around you when you release your praise to him and you put him in his rightful place. Disappointment and defeat is an inside job. It's an inside job. And today I want you to take back what the enemy has stolen. All right, number two, the next area that may keep us living on the mat is blaming other people. Every time I preach, I have this as one of my points, just about. Because that is basically what victimization is. It's blaming other people for why our life is where it is. We've all done it. We're in a whole culture of it. Now, let me say this. Other people may come into play. Of course, yes. But certain man, he had been on this map for a minute. 38 years he had been there and it had become his thing. You know what I'm talking about? This was his thing. This was his thing. This was his identity at this point. So there's a reason that Jesus asked him this very obvious question because he wants certain man to have to acknowledge this. He wants him to have to say it and he does. By blaming others. Now, sometimes people wrong us. I know that's happened to everyone. They do. And let me tell you, everybody in this room has wronged someone else at some point in time. That's just a fact of life. That's just the way it is. But if your life is systemically not moving in a place that's taking you forward in the kingdom of God, that's on you. It's not on him. That's on us. Because let me tell you something. He's never changed. He is true and steadfast and the anchor for all our days forever. So if something is not moving forward and progressing in the kingdom the way you may want it and you feel stuck in a cycle, it's on us. It's not on him ever, ever. So the world that we are currently living in, it should be called the era of victim. You know how there's like certain, like the industrial revolution and the technology revolution, you know, that we're currently living in. I think the history books are going to look back and go, this is the era of victimization. right? Because even if you don't feel like a victim, I mean, you watch the mainstream TV news, an advertisement. By the time you get finished and they've propagandized all of us enough, we just walk away and think, well, I mean, I guess I am a victim. They have wronged me. I mean, that's how it makes you feel. Because you know what? Propaganda works. And so they're feeding that to us all the time. Why would you and I, the children of the Most High God, the image bearers of the most powerful thing ever to be known, why would we ever give our power away to TikTok, Instagram, or anybody else who tried to make us small by becoming victims? Why would we do that? See, that's a choice. We have a choice about that. We don't want to give our power away. Don't give our power away. Don't give your power away to this crazy world and come underneath what it's telling you. Girl, you better be upset because this is what's happened. You may be like, really? Is that happening? I've done that. I'm like, oh, I am? I didn't know I was supposed to be upset about that. Have you ever felt that before? That's what's going on around us. And here's today's PSA, your public service announcement. Living as a victim will not now or ever, ever, ever produce anything good in your life. You will not get ahead. It will not get you ahead. You may think, this is going to get me ahead. It's not going to. It will never produce anything good in your life. You will only get more of what you don't want. See, if Jesus hadn't been able to read between the lines, weren't we glad he could? But if he just listened to certain man's answers, I mean, he would have thought, well, certain man just wants to stay there another 38 years. He doesn't really want to get up. He'd just wait in his turn. That was never going to come. But see, Jesus knew how to read between the lines, and he knew that he wasn't finished with this man. He knew this wasn't the end of that man's story. Certain man had a different ending to his story. Some of you today are certain man, and God wants to write a different ending to the story than what you think it might be. He has a different ending. But see, if that had been a politician or a leader that had a different agenda that day, I mean, to keep this man in an endless cycle of just Loserville, here's what they would have said. Certain man, you are so right. This whole system is rigged against you. They don't want you to get in the water. So what they have done is they're trying to stop you. They let the blind get in. They let the deaf get in. But they must be discriminating against the crippled people. See? That's how it goes. That's how we become victims. And thank you, Jesus, that is not how he leads us. And that's not how he led certain man. That's not what happened here. What a disaster that way of thinking and leading, living leads us to. And God wants us to lay it all that down today. And number three, here's our last way that can keep us on the mat is if we feel unsure, being unsure of the future and or having a familiar spirit with fear or of fear. Have you ever heard the term, the devil you know is much better than the devil you don't? You ever heard that term before? What that means is that the unfamiliar is sometimes worse to us than the already awful situation we have. Right? So the devil, you know, may be being stuck in a dead-end job. You just may be in a job that brings no life, no joy, but at least you know what to expect like every single Monday morning, right? When you get there. So it may be like that. It may also look like being given some kind of diagnosis and having to learn how to live a new way, eat a new way, how to become healthy in order to keep disease at bay. And let me tell you, this can be overwhelming to people. In 2012, this happened to me. I had been sick on and off for 10 straight years from the time I was 35 to 37 till I was 47. I mean, sick. Tim can tell you, I missed a lot of things when my children were little because I was simply too sick to get there to their activities and some of the things that they needed me there for. In 2012, I was diagnosed with celiac disease. Right over here, Wilmington Gastroenterology, blah, 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 right across the street, they did the surgery and they said, girl, you got celiac disease. And here's what they said, good luck with that. I was like, is there a medicine? Is there anything I could? And they were like, no, just don't eat gluten. I was like, does a banana have gluten? Like, I didn't know what gluten even was. I had no idea what it was. And they said, well, it's anything with, just don't eat bread. And maybe go get a book and figure out what gluten is. Now, listen, y'all. I could have said, that nobody telling me how to eat. I'm going to go down to the Beach Bagels and get my regular bagel. I'm going to put some cream cheese on that thing. I'm going to eat that thing down. And you know what? I can tell you I would not be standing here today. Because I would never know the health I know today. I would have continued to get sicker and sicker and sicker. I had an enormous decision in front of me. And what I ended up doing, I literally left. Tim can tell you, he drove me up to the Barnes & Noble and I bought every book they had on gluten. I was like, I don't even know. But here's what it meant. I either stopped eating gluten or I remained sick. This was a no-brainer for me. I had been sick. I'd been sick for 10 years and I didn't know what was wrong with me. But I'm going to tell you something. I had to learn some new things. I had to figure out how to roll that mat up. It wasn't easy. Like the little yoga mat. It wasn't like that. It was more like the stretcher. It was like a situation that I had to learn. I had a big thing, gluten. I was like, gluten? What is it? What's it in? Is it going to tell me on the label? Y'all, this was 2012. Is it going to tell me on the label if it has gluten in it? Is it in every fruit and vegetable? Like, what can I? I had no idea what that was. I was like going to the school of nutrition for the first time in my life because I'd always been about this big around and I'd never even thought about anything I ate. I'd never even thought about anything. Give me a Diet Coke and a Big Mac. I was like, or a number one at Chick-fil-A. That's what I wanted every day with no pickle and a sweet tea. Man, that is my jam right there. Do you know right now people ask me all the time, if you didn't have celiac disease, what would you eat? And I always say, get myself to Mike Perdue's Chick-fil-A and get me a number one with no pickle and a sweet tea. And I just can't eat that anymore. But wow. But the Holy Spirit said, Harriet, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to get well? And I had to be willing to face the unknown of a healing so that I could desperately, that I so desperately wanted and needing. So what becomes in the story of certain man? Let's go to verse 8. Jesus said to him, arise, take up your mat and walk. And immediately the man became well, took up his mat and began to walk. Now it was the Sabbath on that day. Here comes the fun religious leaders. They are always a barrel of fun. Verse 10, therefore the Jews were saying to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath, it's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to be working on the Sabbath. It's not permissible for you to carry that pallet, that mat on the Sabbath. But he said, well, he who made me well was the one who said to me, take up your mat and walk. They ask him, who said this to you? Take up your mat and walk. But he who was healed did not even know who it was. For Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. And afterwards, when it all died down, Jesus found him in the temple and he said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse may befall you. So verse 8, we see Jesus. He gives him very specific instructions of healing. Notice Jesus didn't say, hey, certain man, you just lay there, bud. I got you. You just lay there. It's going to be fine. No. He's like, here's what you got to do. I'm going to give you three things, and you got to get up, you got to pick up your mat, and you got to walk. Three things. And let me tell you, the Bible says certain man did all three of those things, and he was immediately healed. I mean, like that. See, sometimes we just want to go from healing conference to healing conference and healing conference to healing, searching for our freedom, all the things. And Jesus is saying, here are some very specific things that you can do to help yourself. Are you doing those things? Am I doing those things? I had to ask myself that question lately. Because you know what? I want to live a life of long obedience in the same direction. Eugene Peterson said that. A life of long obedience in the same direction. See, certain man didn't even know. He didn't even know Jesus' name. He didn't even know who Jesus was. He had no idea. Remember, he thought the water was the healer. He didn't know. The text tells us that Jesus finds him later on, and after the excitement boils down, he says, "Behold, you've become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse may befall you." Y'all, when Jesus talks about how my Jesus hangs out with sinners and he loves to go to the bars and he loves to, you know, we just hang out in the dark places, that is such a lie, because Jesus always went into those places and then he brought people out of those places and he said, "Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. You don't have to live like this. Go live your life whole and free and full. You don't have to live in a life of sin which leads to death. You don't have to do that." That's what he tells us. Stay that way. So I don't know today. I don't know what your mat might look like. I have no idea what that mat. Some of you may have been on it 38 years and some of you may have been on it 48 or 58 years. I have no idea, but Jesus knows. Jesus knows how long you've been on that thing. He knows. And I don't know if it has become your identity. It doesn't even matter. What matters is that today something new can happen. Today something new can happen. It happened for me in 2012. Something new happened. And I began a journey to healing that I never knew was going to be possible for me. Because we aren't supposed to be laying on mats. See, we are supposed to have the scent of another world on us. Because we are the church. And we are on a mission from the King. Because we are supposed to be building his kingdom, not ours. We should have flames of fire on our heads so that everywhere we go, people know who we belong to. So my last question is, do you wish to be well? Do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? I think deep down inside, we all do. One of these three areas, maybe something else might be, have held you back all this time. But I think we all at least think that we want to, right? So Jesus is saying today, "I got something for you, but you're going to have to get up. You're going to have to take up your mat, and then you're going to be active and take a walk and start walking out of it." And he's telling us that we can do it. This story right here tells us, y'all, that we can do it. If certain man can do it, after almost 40 years, you and I can do this because Jesus has got us. And that's the beauty. Here is the beauty of the whole thing. When we do this, other people get healed too. Other people go, "If Harriet can get her mat sorted out, I know I can. If she can pick up her mat and get this thing going in a new direction, I know I can do this. Because there's nothing special about me. There was nothing special about certain man. There is everything that's so special about Jesus." And so this thing called testimony, it's a big deal. And if you've ever seen someone be healed in the past, just know, whatever you need it for today, that very same thing can happen for you. So today, you may be here. You may have never even begun a relationship with Jesus. Somebody may have brought you along today and you're like, "I don't even know how I got in here." On daylight savings time, y'all, in the early service, "I don't even know how I got here today." But here you are. And you're hearing about certain man. And you're hearing about beautiful Jesus, who is the kindest one we know, who doesn't make us wait for the water to be stirred or anything else to touch us and heal us and make us whole. He just says, "I just want you to belong to me." And you may not belong to him yet because you've never given your life to the Lord. And today that can change. All of that can change today. You also may be someone that is needing a touch today from the Lord. You're like, when she was talking, the Holy Spirit revealed to me what my mat is. And I want you to move out of your seats and come down here to the prayer ministries people. And I want you to let them decree, declare, and agree with you on a moment of wholeness and of, notice Jesus did not counsel this man. There was no counseling session. He wasn't having therapy with him. He said, get up, pick up your mat and walk. That's what these people are going to do. They're going to lay hands on you and say, they're going, in different terms, they're going to say that to you. They're not going to have a therapy session with you because you don't need that. But you do need to know that someone's standing with you in agreement and praying for you. So if you'll all bow your heads, I just want to ask those of you today in the room who may never, ever have started a relationship with Jesus. This may be your first time, and you may be saying, I need to know Jesus myself. I want to be saved today. If that is you, I want you to lift your hand up just so that I can see you. You can just lift it up, and then you can put it back down. Wait just a second. Let's all say this prayer together. Dear Jesus, thank you for being the kindest one we know. Thank you for saving me. I repent of all my sins, and I begin a walk with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can stand up. If the prayer ministry team would come on down. In this part of our service, you can move to any of the four corners of the room and receive and take communion. You can come down and let any of these precious prepared ones lay hands on you and pray with you today. But whatever you need today, stay long enough to get what you need from Jesus. Amen.